The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When the wicked, even mine enemies and my foes, came upon me to eat up my flesh, they stumbled and fell. Though a host should encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Even though war should rise against me, in this will I be confident. One thing have I desired of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. For in the time of trouble he shall hide me in his pavilion, in the secret of his tabernacle shall he hide me. He shall set me upon a rock, and now shall mine head be lifted up above mine enemies round about me. Therefore will I offer in his tabernacle sacrifices of joy. I will sing, yea, I will sing praises unto the Lord. Hear, O Lord, when I cry with my voice, have mercy also upon me, and answer me. When thou saidest, seek ye my face, my heart said unto thee, thy face, Lord, will I seek. Hide not thy face far from me. Put not thy servant away in thine anger. Thou hast been my help, leave me not, neither forsake me, O God of my salvation. When my father and my mother forsake me, then the Lord will take me up. Teach me thy way, O Lord, and lead me in a plain path because of mine enemies. Deliver me not over into the will of mine enemies, for false witnesses are risen up against me, and such as breathe out cruelty. I had fainted unless I had believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait on the Lord, be of good courage, and he shall strengthen thine heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. Praise the Lord. Father, we thank you for this psalm that David wrote, because this psalm unlocks for us, opens up for us, the one desire of our life. In fact, in this psalm we discover the secret to absolute and continual prosperity and success. The secret to living life in this world without ever being afraid. There are many here, Father, who have fear. There are many here who are gripped by fear. Others are completely paralyzed by fear. Others who, from time to time, are thrown by it and do not know how to get the victory. I thank you, Lord God, that there is no basis whatsoever for fear. It is built on a lie. It is built on a confusion. It is built on forgetfulness. It is built on blindness. We are a people that have no space, no room for fear. Fear shall not dwell among us. Spirit of fear, in the name of Jesus, be gone from this people from this day forth forever. Amen, amen and amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Well, fear's gone. How many believe fear's gone? If you believe it, you'll see it.
Hallelujah.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. You know, I used to be gripped by fear. I remember sometime in the 70s, 71, 2, 3, somewhere in there, I had a big poster on I have a long hallway in my house, and at the end of the hallway, it's just a blank wall, and I put this big sign there, and I don't remember exactly what it said, but it had to do with the fact that I pictured myself looking at Goliath's belly button. Because every time I would, this was before I was really free, but every time I would think about life, I would be depressed about how many things there were to throw off and how terrible life was and so on. And I just didn't have any optimism left. I had no ability to believe I could overcome. So I was so afraid that I put this sign on the end of my wall to remind me of, if you don't overcome that, you don't overcome anything. You know, in other words, I wouldn't allow myself to sort of just flit through the day. I just kept that before me, and I said, that's what has to be defeated. If there's a God, then this must have been before 71. I think this was before 71. This was before I became a Christian. If there's a God, then that's what he's going to have to be, bigger than Goliath. You know, if Goliath is about, well, how tall was Goliath? 9 to 10 foot? I forget how tall he was, but he was pretty tall. And I could picture he was tall, and I could just about look right into his, like I say, his belly button or his belt buckle or something, you know. And he was fearsome to me. And he sort of summed up all my fears. It was a kind of a scripture. And I knew that you could defeat him with a word, but I didn't know how to get a word to knock him down, because I wasn't a Christian. But I just had that at the end of my hall. And I did not know that God was my light and my salvation, of whom shall I fear? I knew whom I feared. I knew exactly whom it was. You know, H.L. Hunt would come on the radio and he'd tell his horror stories. You ever hear H.L. Hunt? How many here have ever heard him? You know, he used to get up and say, within 2 years the communists are going to take over this country, and so on and so forth. I think, wow, 2 years? I've just gotten started. We're going to take over already. And I think Carr at that time was just a little baby. She's just real little. And I can remember thinking, boy, I don't even get to raise her. You know, they're going to take her over. I could just see the Chinese hordes coming in, you know, sort of, you know, just swamping us. And then I was thinking, wow, I should have witnessed. I should have been a Christian. I should have won all those people to Christ so they wouldn't come and bother me now. But I didn't. So I put that sign up. Of whom shall I fear? I was afraid. I really had fears. I would drive sometimes to a house. I was a pastor already. Didn't believe in God, but I was a pastor. I would drive up to a home, and all of a sudden I'd be gripped by fear. And I'd just get in the car and turn around and go home. You know, I'd go up to the door and I'd think, I have nothing to say. You know, I mean, I don't even believe in God. What am I doing here? So instead of knocking, I'd just go away. And I'd go back and sit in my bedroom. What a life. But it was very real to me. It was very real. And I know that for some of you, it's just as real. For some of you, you've been gripped by fear, either periodically or maybe even now completely. And fear is the hardest thing to throw off. Of all the things, fear is the most debilitating. It is the most difficult to throw off. Sometimes it would come in a dream at night. You know, I'd be all right during the daytime, but maybe at night. And I would have this dream of the end of the world. I can remember many times getting up and writing these things down. I remember once seeing the world kind of like it was built out of wooden timbers, and the whole thing went up in flames. And another time I remember, it was very vivid to me, I remember demons coming at me and seeking to destroy me and so on. These things were so vivid to me. And I tell you, it just scared me completely from this life. I knew there was no insurance program or no island I could move to or whatever to escape the vanity and the terror and the fear of this world. And God was the only way. And I knew he was the answer, but I didn't know how to get into that. I didn't even know if there was a God. I remember one night painting the hall, that same hall that I had this picture up in, and I remember hearing on the radio that UFOs were landing, and guys were getting out, and there were reports, some couple of loonies down in Louisiana were telling about talking to these guys. You might probably remember that several years ago. And I thought, good grief, you know. I don't even know if there's a God yet, and the Martians are already taking over. you know, I was scared. I didn't know what to make of all this stuff. Bombs, you know, over us and so on. The kind of world in which I grew up since the 40s was a scary world. And so I didn't have a God. I didn't know these verses. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Of whom shall I be afraid? Well, I didn't know how to say that. I couldn't say with boldness, I'm not afraid of anything. I was afraid of almost everything. When the wicked, even mine enemies, And my foes came upon me to eat up my flesh. They stumbled and fell. I didn't know that at that time. Though a host should encamp around about me, against me, my heart shall not fear. Even though war should rise against me, I'll be confident. Well, that is my life now. I am unafraid. I have met the foe. I have seen him. I have looked at him, and I've seen him fall. Time after time, day after day, there is no way, I don't care how far the enemy goes, my God is bigger. My God, now this is an experience. This is not just faith talk. I have experienced since that time, 1971, I have experienced over and over again in every situation, not one excepted, that my God is able to overthrow, and I have never been afraid. I have not been afraid. Now, I'm not talking about psychologically being afraid. Sometimes, you know, you have little fears. They come to you. But I overcome them at once through the Word of God. I overcome them at once through my eyes fastened on my Beloved. I stay, I abide, I live in, I dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life. And only goodness and mercy comes to me, and I laugh at the future. I laugh at all that Satan does, literally. When people tell me stories, it isn't just a game with me. If they tell me how horrible something is, I often just will laugh. And they, of course, think I'm being not understanding what they're saying. But I know where they are because they are where I once was. And I don't believe what they're telling me, even though I know they're sincere. Oh, Pastor, you don't understand this and thus and so and such and so. Well, praise God, I just start laughing. You know, that's the funniest thing I ever heard because that is a lie. I'm not laughing at them. I'm laughing out loud because the enemy, the devil, has no power to stop anything that God does. Now, I'm talking about what man does. I'm talking about what God does. God is doing a thing in the earth, and his purposes will be realized. Amen? Amen. I mean all of his purposes. And I love the impossible. I love when someone comes along and says, but do you see what's happening to the economy? Did you hear about this? And I just laugh. Like the woman in in Proverbs 31, I laugh at the time to come. There is nothing in all the earth. And I've studied history. I'm soaked in it. And not only that, but the present political situation. Just, you know, what's happening. And I love my God. And I love to dwell in God, and I know I've got the answer, and I know him who is the answer, who's always about 2 or 3 inches taller than Goliath. If Goliath is 10 foot, God is 10 foot 2. If Goliath is 10 foot 4, God is 10 foot 6. Now, he's never 55 feet. My God is always just a little bit bigger than any other God. Just big enough. And when I need a bigger God, he'll be bigger. He kind of just grows as I need him. Do you understand what I'm saying? In other words, he isn't 10,000 feet tall. No, he's just big enough, whatever I need, and then always a few inches more. That's how big God is. Because you can't experience God in all of his height and depth and breadth and length. You experience him day by day in situations. And I have experienced in my life, not the God who's 1,000 feet tall, I've only experienced one that's taller than anything else. You understand? And David says in the Psalms, over and over again, I read all the Psalms, it's so powerful, they just came alive to me. He says that my mountain will be lifted up. My mountain will be lifted up. In other words, the enemy comes to knock down my mountain, but my mountain will be lifted up. And we live on the mountain of God. We live on Mount Zion and our mountains. Now, I'm not even getting started yet. This is just the introduction. This is so exciting. It goes something like this. When we begin to offer God sacrifices, those sacrifices are sacrifices of joy and praise and thanksgiving and so on. You know what that is? That's boasting. Watch me do it. I'll just say, God is so good. I'm boasting. I'm boasting in the Lord. That's what thanksgiving and praise and worship is all about, boasting in God. And I'm declaring how great God is. God is great. God is marvelous. God is here. God will do everything. You know, I'm just boasting on him. And you know what happens? Immediately then, the enemy hears that and hates it and knows that if I keep it up, then his kingdom will fall down and people will stop believing in him. So that's why I boast so loud and extravagantly. And the enemy comes along and says, you better be quiet. And that makes me all the louder. Now I know that Goliath can't stop me. You see, before I used to say, God is big, big, big. You know, because I didn't want the devil to get me. You know, Peggy shared this the other day, and it was cute. Pam Gurton, I'm sure she won't mind me sharing this. When she was a little girl, she used to pray to Jesus. She used to say, Jesus, help me. And then, because she was so afraid of the devil, she would say, now, devil, I'm sorry that I prayed to Jesus. And she'd apologize to the devil so he wouldn't get her. Now, that is very real for a lot of people, because immediately when they say something like, I will never fall, ooh, immediately the devil comes in and says, aha, just because you said that, now you're going to get it. Have you ever heard that kind of voice? Yes, you have. That's typical with us, that when we boast on God, the enemy comes along and steals, robs, kills, destroys, takes away our boast. But I tell you, then you'll never be a people of praise and worship and adoration until you learn to boast high in God. And a lot of people are afraid of high praise. They're afraid of boasting because they feel it's in the flesh and you know, something's awful going to happen. Well, I tell you, you know, and I can almost see the fear coming out even when I say it. I tell you, God is only going to bless me. I will never fall. What do you think of that?
Amen.
Never. You say, yeah, but okay, Pastor, others have said that, you know. And I can think of all the things that people have said and done. But I tell you, until we become a people that trust in God and put our faith in God and realize that God has such a high thing out there to accomplish, He doesn't want us just to go a few inches. God wants us to accomplish all. Does He not? Has He not given before us an impossible task? To win the entire world for Jesus? How do we know there's going to be a generation after us? Let's win the whole world for Jesus now. You think we can do it?
Amen.
Then we should fill up this side over here. We should start right where we are. You know, and I'm not even talking about that. I'm just saying, let's get going. Now, if we need something, God will provide it. Whatever it is you need. But I'm going to tell you something. Start to praise God on the basis of your words, and I'll guarantee this, the devil will attack you. The devil will attack you. Here, Psalm 50, 14 and 15. This is neat. Offer unto God thanksgiving, and that's what we're just talking about. Thank you, God, for being so great. And pay the vows, pay thy vows unto the Most High. That means do whatever you said. You know, if you follow Him, obey Him, do what He says. And if you will follow God, I guarantee you'll get in trouble. It's a guarantee. It's a promise. If you will follow God, you'll get in trouble. Now watch, I just did it. I just said, I will never be moved. Now, you can almost hear the enemy so excited that I've said that. All he has to do is throw me one time and he's won. I say he cannot get me even one time. I say all things are going to work together for the good. I say that he that's in me is greater than he that's in the world. You see, I have a lot of I says. Because I got a lot of scripture in me, and I've got a lot of experience in me that says God never lies. Now, I know that sometimes it looks bad and looks grim. But you know what I do when it looks bad and grim? I skip more scriptures. I skip more of them. And the worse it looks, I just go and dig up some more scriptures. And the devil hates that. He was hoping I would just fall apart and put one of those signs up on my wall. But I tore that sign down. I don't know if that is. That might be up in the attic. I'm going to go up and dig it out. It's been years since I've looked at it. But I've got another sign up now. God is great. There's nothing is impossible. I think, Guy, you have this written on your wall. With God, nothing's impossible. That's the truth. I want to boast, and this is really what the message is on, is boasting in the Lord. I want you to become boasters. If you're going to be a praising, worshiping, thankful people, you're going to have to learn to boast in the Lord and big. Boast big. You ready? Let's say it. I cannot fall.
I cannot fall.
I will never fall.
I will never fall.
I will beat the devil.
I will beat the devil.
Every time.
Every time.
He will never get me.
He will never get me.
I will trample on him.
I will trample on him.
I'm the head.
I'm the head.
Not the tail.
Not the tail.
Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
Amen. Now, did you hear fear try to get in?
Yeah.
And say, don't be as loud as that other person? You know, just
Just,
if you say it a little softer, he won't get you. Ah, look, the devil can't do a thing. Now, this is not the exciting part. This is just the negative side of it. The positive side is that God is doing this so that we will have the boldness and the bravery to do all that God said. But I'm going to boast on God because God has said some big things. God has given a commission that's so big, and I believe God's going to do it. Do you? Do you believe God's going to do what he said? Do you believe he could make us into a loving people? Do you believe that he could save this city? Do you believe that he could heal the sick? Do you believe that he could baptize with love and with the Holy Ghost this city? God is going to do marvelous things, great things. There's no end to what we can accomplish because it's in the Bible. It's in the Bible. It's in the Word. We believe that we are going to affect the entire world. Do you believe that? How big is your God? How big is your vision? If we just affect Fort Worth, it's not enough. If we just affect this church, it's not enough. I personally intend, I don't care if I do this or not, but I intend, I deliberate, I will, to do all that God wants me to do. And as far as I know, unless he tells me otherwise, I intend to take the entire world. That is, I intend to affect this world with my life, a nobody, before I die, for Jesus' sake. I don't care if it's through prayer or through visiting or through being famous or infamous or what. I don't care what my reputation is. I don't care what people say. I'm going to do all that God said, and nobody can stop me. Did you know that? Even if right now there were 15 devil worshippers in here, you know, and 33 witches, that would just excite me. I'm serious. I mean, they're real people. I mean, they're serious about their business. I tell you, they are. But all the hosts of hell are unable to stop the children of God. And you need to be more bold and more powerful in your statements about what God can do, because he wants to be boasted on. Now, here's the thing. When you boast, you get in trouble. That's why most people don't boast very loud. You say, oh, I do the best I can. Well, you know, the devil ain't going to attack you on that. You get up and say, I'm going to serve God as much as any man alive. Well, the devil really has room then to come and say, aha, I heard what you said. We'll just see. You see, I like to give him a lot of room to hang me. Just see what he can do. And sure enough, I get in trouble. Every time I make a statement, I go home and I think, now, why was I so bold, you know? And, you know, hours later, I'll be quivering or something, and I'll think, ooh, boy, what happened to me? You know, my wife will come along and say, I thought you just said, you know. But that's all right. I have learned that it was right for me to get up and be bold. It was just wrong for me to think naively that the devil wouldn't attack me. Look, I get in trouble when I say things like that. When I say, yes, you can be healed, you get in trouble. But every time when you stand in faith and don't be shaken, stand there, keep praising the Lord, keep believing, cry out to God, God will answer. Now, if you haven't experienced that, don't say it. If you haven't experienced that, if that isn't an experience, then it's just words. That needs to be your experience. Try them on something small. Try them on something small. Don't start with the world. Just start with something small. You know, get the toaster to work or something. Just something that you can handle. Something small. Find something for you that you lose or something. God will prove himself. Offer unto God, this is 50:14-15, offer unto God thanksgiving and pay thy vows unto the Most High and call upon me in the day of trouble. Why? Because you'll get in trouble. I will deliver thee and thou shalt glorify me. That's what God wants. God wants you to get in trouble. He wants you to boast so you'll get in trouble so that he can deliver you so that you can glorify him, and so will the devil and so will all the hosts of hell. They all have to glorify God. Do you realize that the devil himself will have to praise God? He will. The devil's going to have to bow the knee. Oh, this is the exciting thing. God knows when we boast, say God is great, that he knows it doesn't look that way. So he said, in the world you have trouble. So immediately I get in trouble when I say that. God will do anything. Boom, get in trouble. What about this? What about that? But then the devil has bought my hook, you see, and he bites onto it, and he says, aha, now I've got you, and I'm a worm. I'm tied on the end of this hook, you see, and I'm a little worm, and God's, you know, put me down in the water. And the old devil just gets me. Ah! He's got me. Just surround me. Though a host should encamp around about me. Ah! Help. And so when I cry out to God, Boom, he grabs a hold of that old fish and takes him off the hook, and the worm's still okay. Now, I'm not calling you worms. I'm just kind of indicate how exciting it is that we're setting up the devil for a fall. And you know, all the people in the world, when they hear you boasting, they say, yeah, sure, God isn't that great. I called on him once, didn't work, you know. They're getting set up. And God is wanting them to mock him. He's wanting them to say, it'll never happen. Because then when it happens, they are afraid, in the right sense of the word fear. A fear goes throughout this world. They say, watch out for those Christians, because they know how to get things done. They boasted the other day, and I laughed at them, but I'm not laughing anymore, because they know the Lord God, and he answers their prayers. You see that? So God wants you to boast. One thing have I desired of thee, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life. That means this people right here. I mean, in the saints. It doesn't mean in a building. I'll dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life to behold the beauty of the Lord. Why? Because when the Lord doesn't show you his face, you're in trouble. When the Lord shows you his face, you're defended and prosper. So if we dwell in the house of the Lord by faith, even though it looks like I don't see the Lord's face, I'm always before the Lord's face. That means I'm always in victory, I'm always defended, I'm always prospered. You cannot come up with anything that will say, here's a situation where you were defeated. Make one up. I defy and dare all the demons in hell to say, there's an area where you were defeated. You cannot defeat me. No matter what you come up with, my God will raise me up. Death itself is impossible to hold me. Death itself cannot do its work. Death will now become only sleep, and a new way to get God's glory. Even my death, even should God turn his face, so to speak, for a minute, and the devil would strike me dead here, I would rise up again. God is going to get glory out of me, and he's going to get glory out of you if you'll start boasting in him. If you boast, you'll get in trouble. If you get in trouble, you'll cry out. If you cry out, he'll deliver you, and if he delivers you, he gets glorified. That's the secret. That's what David knew. I tell you, if you read the Psalms with that in mind, boast in the Lord, get in trouble. Get in trouble, cry out. Cry out, God delivers, God delivers, God gets glory. That's what God wants, glory. We had a sermon on that about a month ago about God getting glory for himself. God is interested in getting glory. God wants to glorify himself. So when I boast in the Lord, I'm just saying how great God is, then all those things happen. Then you think, well, see, you shouldn't have said that. No, just the opposite. Because then when I cry out, God is going to answer, and then you will see with your eyes. I have heard thee with the hearing of the ear, but now I have seen thee with the seeing of the eye. Thou art a great God. So God is going to do wonderful things. Now, God has already begun in our midst to do wonderful and glorious things. Amen?
Amen.
But you haven't seen anything yet. We're just beginning. We're just beginning. It's just beginning to rain. There's going to be such a flood and such a rain. I believe every body's going to be healed. I believe that all of our people are going to be saved, filled with the Spirit, full of joy, able to worship God. Do you believe that?
Amen.
You can see some miserable people here today. Look around. See? There's some miserable people here. Don't even know the full joy of the Lord. They're miserable because they're afraid. They're afraid to stand up and say, I boast in the Lord. He is so good, I've never had one bad day in my whole life. Everything has been redeemed. Everything has been covered with the blood. Everything has been filled with power. What a wonderful life it is. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Can you stand up and say that? No, most of you are still mad at some Christian who won't do what he's supposed to do, or some yourself, you let God down, or this and that. You don't understand. God is being glorified in your life. Don't you have the most happy, the most glorious life in the whole world? I can't imagine anyone being happier than I am. Let's say that. I can't imagine anyone being happier than I am. You want to apologize to the devil for saying that? No. We're the happiest people. I don't care if you feel it or not. We're the happiest people in the face of the earth. We are the people. Now, the thing that makes me so happy is not only has God done that for me and for you, but he will do it for anybody. Anybody. Whosoever will may come. Everybody can be victorious. Why do people go through life defeated? Because they listen to the devil. Because they don't boast in God. They don't know God. Do you know how great our God is? What's too hard for him? Can he take Fort Worth? Is that too hard? It's pretty hard. He's never done it before. God has never taken a whole city before. I believe in our day he'll take a city, a major city. I think he's taken a few towns. But he's never taken a major city. God has never gotten a New York City or a Philadelphia, you know, or a Tokyo or a London or a Fort Worth. I believe Fort Worth's going to be the first. Well, you know, maybe it'll be London. I don't know where it'll be, but I don't know anything about London. So I'm just going to take Fort Worth because here's where I am. I'm a believer. I believe that God is going to take this city. I believe God's going to then take Dallas second. Because our mountain has to be exalted. No, that's silly. I don't care what he takes. He can take anything he wants to. But I just think he's going to take something. I think he's going to take cities to show the world that a city can be taken. Now, I'm not talking about something silly like every single person. I don't know what I'm talking about. All I mean is something so incredible the whole world's going to know about it. That's all I mean. I'm not talking about the city becoming a church or something. You know, let Caesar be Caesar. I'm just saying that there's going to be such a revival, such a harvest, that whole cities. I don't care about the communists or the mafia or H.L. Hunt, you know, or any of those other people. They don't know anything. The mafia is stupid. Hello. They don't know anything. They have a brotherhood. They've gathered together. They've conspired together against the Lord and his anointed, even if they're good Catholics. They don't know anything. They don't know anything. They don't know that God would make them rich. They had to go out and get it themselves. They had to lie and cheat and steal and kill and rob and destroy and follow the devil in order to get what they wanted because they were scared that they couldn't get it the right way. I've got a better God than that. I used to steal. I used to be a thief. I did. I used to lie. I used to cheat. I used to do all that on purpose, deliberately. But I found that that didn't lead to happiness. And I've met Jesus Christ. I don't steal anymore. I don't have to lie anymore. In fact, I boast in the fact that now I don't have any power, any strength, any wisdom, any nothing, and God does everything. It's a boast. It's exciting to see being nobody, you're somebody. Whereas before I thought you had to be somebody to be somebody. Now I realize you have to be nobody to be somebody. That's exciting. I'm a nobody, and yet I'm great. God has lifted me up. God has exalted my horn. God has, he said, those that humble themselves will be exalted. In this world, too. 30, 60, and 100-fold. I can testify that that has happened. Can you testify to that? Let's say that. God is my horn.
God is my horn.
He has lifted me up high.
He has lifted me up high.
I establish a banner.
I establish a banner.
The Lord is great.
The Lord is great.
And greatly to be praised.
And greatly to be praised.
And my name.
And my name.
Is in his name.
Is in his name.
We are one.
We are one.
As he prevails,
as he prevails,
I prevail.
I prevail.
As he triumphs,
as he triumphs,
I triumph.
I triumph.
He is my shield,
he is my shield,
and my exceeding great reward.
And my exceeding great reward.
I could not have more.
I could not have more.
I've got it all.
I've got it all.
I'm completely satisfied.
I'm completely satisfied.
Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
Amen. Isn't God good? Amen. I was going to finish with another psalm, but I won't do it. But I'll just have you go home and read it. I'm sorry for the ladies because they already have another assignment today. But this psalm is so good. It's Psalm 34. Psalm 34. Well, it's short. Let me read it. I'll save the ladies 5 more minutes. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul shall make her boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear thereof and be glad. O magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. I sought the Lord, and he heard me, and delivered me from most of my fears. All of my fears. They looked unto him, and they were lightened. And their faces were not ashamed. This poor man cried. This is talking about Jesus. It's talking about David. It's talking about you and I. This poor man cried, and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all his troubles. The angel of the Lord encampeth round about those that fear him and delivereth them. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in him. Oh, fear the Lord, ye his saints, for there is no want to them that fear him. I don't have any wants. That is, anything that I must have, I've got it. If I don't have it today, I'll have it tomorrow. Whenever I need it, I'll have it. It's in the bank. It's mine when I need it. I do not doubt. I never ask God for something in a pitying voice. Oh, please, God. You know, I always ask in confidence. Now, God, you know I need that. Thank you for it. Amen. Because it says here, and I stand on the word, there is no want to them that fear him. I want this. I want that. I need this. I need that. I don't beg. I'm not a beggar. Why? Because I'm a son of God. He's already given that to me. I believe his word. There's no want to them that fear him. The young lions do lack and suffer hunger, but they that seek the Lord shall not want any good thing. I have all. I've got it all. That's my testimony. I have every good thing. Come, ye children, hearken unto me, and I will teach you the fear of the Lord. You need to learn it. What man is he that desireth life? Every man. And loveth many days? Every man. That he may see good? Every man wants that. Then keep thy tongue from evil. That is, stop belly aching and griping and complaining and moaning and, you know, looking at what you look at. Start to speak not evil, but speak good. Give a good report. Say God is good. Start boasting in the Lord. Stop complaining and griping about the troubles in this world. Jesus has overcome them all. Depart from, keep thy tongue from evil and thy lips from speaking guile. Depart from evil and do good. Seek peace and pursue it. The eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous. That's us because of the blood of Jesus. And his ears are open to their cry. He always hears me. The face of the Lord is against them that do evil. That is, those that don't trust in the blood of Jesus. To cut off their remembrance from the earth. The righteous cry, and the Lord thinks it over. No, it says the Lord heareth and delivereth them out of all their troubles. The Lord is nigh unto them that are of a broken heart, and saveth such as be of a contrite spirit. Many are the affliction of the righteous. Can you say amen?
Amen.
Especially if you start boasting. You're going to get more trouble. If you start boasting, people are going to hear you and mock you. They're going to say, you're a fanatic. What are you so happy about? You know, they're going to wonder about you. You used to say, praise God, isn't it a wonderful day? And, you know, aren't things going well? Have you looked at television lately? You know, they're just going to tell you about how miserable the world is in the office and on the streets and everywhere you go. Just say, no, praise God, but God. I see the trouble, but God is in control. And God is working out his purposes. We are the most optimistic people on the earth. I don't believe in depressions that depress. I believe in depressions where I become wealthy.
Amen.
I don't care what the devil does, I'll always win. Come up with something and I'll come up with something better because my God is good. You believe that?
Amen.
And I always know what to do because God has a purpose and a plan and I found out what it is and I'm in line with it. I want to accomplish what he wants to accomplish. Therefore, he will make provision for me to succeed because I'm part of his success. He will bless what's his vision. The righteous cry, and the Lord heareth and delivereth them out of all their troubles. The Lord is nigh unto them that are of a broken heart, saveth such as be of a contrite spirit, that is, humbles themselves under the word, not walks around with a long face. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivereth him out of them all. He keepeth all his bones, not one of them is broken. Evil shall slay the wicked, because that's what they believe in. And they that hate righteousness shall be desolate. They won't be able to bring forth anything. But the Lord redeemeth the soul of his servants, and none of them that trust in him shall be desolate. In other words, I expect trouble. I don't gripe. I don't complain. I don't say, oh, I wish I had a better church. I love you being a mess. I love it. I really do. When things go bad, I get excited. Because immediately I know there's nothing I can do about it. I just turn to God and laugh and say, Lord God, isn't this the people you gave me? Didn't you say these people would be glorious? I did, he says. And I say, well, it doesn't look like it. He says, I know. Well, he talks deeper than that. But then I say, okay, God, do your thing. And I just start laughing because I know it doesn't look good. It doesn't look like God's going to win. And he always comes through. Have you not improved? Just think of it. Have you not improved? How many here have improved over the last year? Praise God. You're stronger, you're happier, you're more powerful. Why? Not because of this, not because of something we're doing. It's because of God. It's because God wants a people that get sweeter and sweeter. God wants a people that smell better. Don't you smell better than you did last week? Yeah, we're the sweet aroma of Jesus. You're starting to smell better. You really do. You know, it used to stinketh. You know, 4 days in the grave. But God wants a people that will be bold. I want you to learn to be bold in your testimony. You know, stop waiting for your feelings to come along and so on. Just base on the word, start bragging, get in trouble. The whole thing tempted to fall apart and so on. Cry out to God. He'll deliver you. You will glorify God, and you will not be thrown. After you get 3 or 4 battles under your belt and you've won them, you'll get up forever. Now, I have not been sad since the day I've been born again. Maybe for a few minutes I've been... I don't know. I don't even know if a few minutes. Peggy, I've been pretty happy, have I not? I think just about all the time since I've been saved. That meant so much to me, and I've stood on the Word. I have found that if you believe the Bible just the way it's written... Now, I have all that fancy learning in me, and I found that I don't believe any of those liberal scholars. And I don't even believe the conservatives. You know, sometimes they don't even believe what they say they believe. Do you know that? Even the evangelicals, I find, don't believe the Bible just the way it's written. They always give some fancy interpretation as why tongues and stuff isn't right and so on. I like to take it just as it is and let God make a fool out of the mockers. Because what God has said, God means. I don't care if you understand it or not. When God says it, that's it. And I have stood on that word, and you have stood on that word, and it works. God backs up his word because his word is higher than his name. That is, he's given you his word, and his name stands behind it, perform it. That's why he exalts it. Well, God's going to do great things, but I want you to start saying so with your mouth. I want you to start boasting of God wherever you go, but especially when you come together here, build yourself up in boasting. That's what worship is. Boasting in the Lord with all your spirit, and your soul, including and your body, including your mouth, everything in you, start to boast in the Lord. Now let's look boastful right now. Look happy, look excited, you know. God's going to do great things. Is there anything too big for God?
No.
Is there anything impossible?
No.
Could you think any right now, if somebody's not saved in your life, can they be saved?
Yes.
Somebody who's sick, can they be healed?
Yes.
Is anything impossible? Start pleading the blood. Start going to God. Get a hold of God and say, God, I'm not going to let you go till you bless me. I'm not going to let you go until you do what I say. Do what I say. Are you that bold? You said, if I will, you know. He gave you. He gave you. He said, you have desires. Where do you think you got those desires? From the Bible. If they don't agree with the Bible, don't worry, they won't be met. So be bold about it. Say, Lord, this is what I want. I need this. I want that, and so on and so forth. And I know if I need it, I have it. So I just put in my request right now with great confidence. Don't you think God will answer that prayer? Stop waiting for months and years on these things. Let's get them today. Let's get them today. You ready?
Amen.
Could God be a God of today?
Yes.
You're afraid to boast. Let's boast. God is so good, people. He's so good. Jesus said, today is the day of salvation. I believe today is a great day. I believe something's going to happen, don't you?
Yes.
Guy Witherspoon, come up here. We're going to pray right now. Father God, we just thank you and praise you. We boast in your name that you're not done. There's more. There's more. There's so much more that you are yet to do, even this morning, to bless us before we go. So that as we go out rejoicing and boasting greatly in the Lord. Yes, our God is alive. Yes, our God does do all things wondrous. Oh, God, we love you. We praise you. We adore you. We worship you. We follow you. We obey you. And no one will stop us until we accomplish all that must be accomplished. In the lovely name of Jesus, amen and amen. But it doesn't make any difference. We're moving in. I don't really care where you place us right now. 1 John 1:7 through 9. 1 John 1:7 through 9. And this other one was Psalm 27:6, as well as the other one was Psalm 50:14. All right. Praise the Lord. The reason I put you in the holy place here, and it wouldn't make any difference, is as I'm confessing the sins, they're covered. So because of the blood, I'm covering them. That allows me to go on in. That's why I moved us in. Now, you could put it in the outer court because that's where the blood is shed. But I just go on in because that's one of the things I'm thankful for, is that I can go on in. So either way, it doesn't make a difference here theologically. But the point is we're moving on in, into his holy place with confession. In other words, I am cleansed. This verse says, it cleansed me, that's the labor, from all unrighteousness. Cleansed me from all unrighteousness. Do you realize that there is no unrighteousness in you? When you've confessed, all you'd say is, Lord, I'm sorry. Do you have to feel that? No. The same way that you deliberately said, I will thank him, I will praise him, you can also deliberately say, Lord, forgive me. Now, you don't have to wait for some, You don't have to wait for anything. Just simply say it. God, forgive me. Thank you. As long as you have faith in the blood, as long as you're doing it in faith. You're not doing it in feeling. You're doing it in faith. They're two different things. If you feel it, great. Praise the Lord. Then you don't need faith. If you feel it, you don't need faith. Not for that. If you feel it, you don't need faith. Feeling is something, tangible to you. But often you're going to confess your sins without feeling. You just simply confess them. Lord, I'm sorry that I hurt that sister. But inside of you is, the opposite feeling. Get her some more, or something like that. It's all right. It doesn't matter. You really are sorry. Why are you really sorry? You're not a hypocrite. Because your new man is saying that, not your old man. If that just came from your old man, then you can't always tell with your feeling whether that's old man or new man, you see. But I always know what my new man says because it always agrees with the word. And I don't worry about how I feel. I don't check out to see how my feelings are doing. They come along. They have to come along sooner or later.
Amen.
They have to. They do. You just start walking this way, and they'll come along. They will. Praise the Lord. Now, there's a sister that must know. Praise the Lord. What do you want me to do? I've only got about, how much time have I got? 2 minutes? That's all?
Oh.
Praise the Lord. All right? As long as we're in the holy place, and into his holy place, with confession of righteousness. Because these two always go together. I don't ever confess my sins without confessing my righteousness. They always go together because of the blood of Jesus. Otherwise, I would have nothing to be thankful for, really. I'm thankful that God has given me eternal life. It's given. Therefore, I praise his name. I confess my sins, but it's easy to do because it's a legal kind of purity at this point. Galatians 2:20 would be good here. It's no longer I that live. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, we are new creatures. We're a new creation. Behold, the old has passed away. Now, therefore, I can confess my righteousness. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. Okay? So, now I confess my righteousness. Now, I'm moving on in. Now, here's the most important part, 5. Most important part is worship in his presence. Now, I'm going right into the Holy of Holies now. Worship in his presence. I'm moving in. Oh, well, that's okay. Petition and intercession start to flow at this point. It doesn't matter where they come in. I'm not going to include them in this worship part, but they start to flow, either here or here. They just start to flow. But especially as I begin to worship in God's presence, this is what is unknown, I would say, mostly, is that what's going to happen to me, David? What will happen? Will the tape just stop or what? Can I go for a few more minutes? Okay. Dave's more worried about the technical things. Worship in his presence, that's where God reveals himself. Now this you are going to feel. That's where God, you're going to experience. Now this was all done in faith. This was taking with you blood, taking with you words into the presence of God. But now if you do this, this will happen. That God will reveal an insight, a revelation, just a sense of his presence, a confidence, a joy. You will feel the presence of God. That's worship. Now, this was all worship too. But worship leads to worship. As you begin to do that, you will actually experience God. If you really do this in faith and in confidence,
As you're moving in, he will unveil suddenly. You're outside the curtain there. This is an experience now. And all of a sudden, you'll feel the curtain draw aside or rip from top to bottom, whatever, and you'll just go on in. It might be for a brief second. It might be for an hour. It doesn't matter how long it is. You will sense, and this is something so exciting, all the way through the Bible this happens, but this must happen to you daily. Mm-hmm. Every time you come to church, every time you're alone, this should happen as an experience, not just theologically. Theologically, we've got it all. But now we're talking about experientially. This is how it comes about. This is what you can do that this would come about. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving. Did you start with thanksgiving? When you're saying, oh God, please help me. Did you start with thanksgiving?
Well, no, because the problem's so big.
You know, well, start with thanksgiving.
I can't.
Yes, you can. Just do it. Just deliberate to do it. I will enter his gates with thanksgiving. When he sees that thankfulness, when he hears that praise, when he sees you confessing your sin, that is covered by the blood, and confessing your righteousness, boom, God will reveal himself to you. He will give you what you desire. He will give you what you, he will. God will reveal himself to you. Not only give you the thing you desire, but the thing you really desire is to behold the Lord. And he will give you that, and then the thing becomes secondary. The thing that you're worried about, the trouble that was before you, or the situation, the defense you needed, or the prosperity you wanted, or something. Suddenly you have the Lord, and the other doesn't make any difference now. Then he gives you that too. He gives you that too. Because that's what brought you into the presence. So you have a real encounter with God. Glory fills your soul. Do you see what a difference that would make? You see what a difference that would make? Glory, just suddenly the fire falls and the glory fills. And the whole house where you are is aglow. You know, if nobody else sees it in the church, you just stand up and say, people, did you see it? What? The glory. I see it. It's here. You know, and then suddenly all those that are in the Lord, they'll see it. They get, ooh, ooh, praise God. They just get all excited. Amen? Okay. Oh, there's so many scriptures here. Jacob wrestling with an angel. I will never leave the presence of God unless he blesses me. Now listen to me. That's pretty strong and arrogant. I won't leave the presence of God. That's why I came into his presence, that he might give me a blessing. I don't just want a word. I want a revelation from the living God. I don't just want a Bible study. I don't just want some... I want God to personally endorse it. I want him to say, Jim, this is the message to tell today. Not just, now here's a good Bible study, you know. 43 Bible studies, you know, you can buy books on those, you know. No, you want something that God says, tell him this today. Ooh, oh boy, I know that's a good one. They'll hate it. It doesn't matter what their response is. I don't really care what people do. Once I know God has said, tell it to them, that's it. That is my joy. And even if they stone me, hallelujah, glory to God, I loved it. You see, because I know I shared what God wanted me to share. Many times people don't understand. In fact, I'll say, almost every time people never understood Jesus. So understanding is immaterial. How people respond is immaterial. Just do what God says, and in the end, it'll turn out glorious. That's all. You know, maybe end. I don't care where the end is. You know, it doesn't really make any difference. Once you've seen God, nothing else matters. But God gives you then these revelations, these encounters, these fellowship times, and ooh, you lose all sense of time and space. You know, and then you can hardly wait. You know, all of a sudden it comes to you that he's saying, okay, now go. And you realize, ooh, I don't want to be in there any longer, and you start to go out. Now this is a new kind of praise and worship. This is exciting. Here, there's a new praise. This one is called High Praises of God, because you've been in his presence. Now here's a praise up here done in faith. But here's a praise down here, and the Bible distinguishes these praises. This is called high praise. High praise. The high praises of God. And this is where there's banners, you know, and you're so excited, not because the enemy has been defeated. You haven't even seen him defeated. But you just know that you know that you know, even before it happens, that he's defeated. Because you've been with God. Now this ought to be your daily experience. I'm telling the truth there. Daily you ought to experience this. That is the difference between the normal Christian that we see today who's very defeated, and the victorious Christian is being with God. Being with God. And this is how you do it. So we call this a war shout. A war shout. And I tell you, just since I've seen this revelation, I've never noticed how many times God has got a war. Now, you understand what we're talking about here. We're talking about war over the devil and so on and so forth. But in the Old Testament, it was war over Pharaoh and, you know, Goliath and the Canaanites and all those guys. But God is a God of war. He loves to give victory over the enemies. And he's a God whose judgments are just. And I tell you, when God begins to get these victories, the world, I'm not talking about the real world out there, is going to notice. They do not notice when we sing these nice little hymns and, you know, do our normal thing. But they're going to notice when we begin with loud shouts to say, "Our God reigneth," and they don't see anything yet. They don't see anything. But they don't know we've been with God and he told us what he's going to do. And we just start telling already, God is going to make this city into a city of righteousness. You know, and so on. You just begin, once you've been with God, you know, it's one thing to say it in faith, but this is not faith now. This is the actual experience of God, but you're still going out in faith because you haven't seen it. But you don't need anything. You've seen him. You start to plant your banners out there. Praise God. God's going to do this. Great boldness goes forth at this point. That's a different kind of praise. Then there's a final praise, and that's victory praise. Victory praise, you know, where there's dancing. You know, now this is not in faith. It's not just even in boldness out of the presence of God. This is when you've actually seen it, and the world has glorified God as well. The whole world glorifies God. Or the world fears, as the Bible says. The world fears. The world fears. They say, watch out, because those Christians know how to get things done. You know, don't go around them with a headache. They'll get you healed like that. They'll just be all over you until you get healed. You know, they won't let you go. You know, if you're in the elevator and you swear, they'll right away, they'll say something, you know, like, praise the Lord or something. You know, you praise your God, I'll praise mine. Or, you know, they'll come up with something because those Christians, they just don't let things lie. They make a difference in this world. You see, that's the kind of people God wants. The kind of people that bear testimony constantly to the goodness of God. Now, he does it in all kinds of ways. I'm not telling how he does it. Just saying, there's a high praise here that comes from being in the presence of God. That's different than this kind of praise up here. It's different. It's high. It's excited. Now, sometimes we get noisy. That isn't necessarily high praise. High praise comes after you've seen a revelation of God. Just to get noisy in church doesn't mean we're high praising. You know, we get noisy sometimes. Say, high praise. Praise the Lord. But I really believe this is high praise. Let's close in prayer. If you want scriptures, I've got them all here. Father God, we thank you for this day. We thank you for what you're about to do in the service. We thank you for the healings that are going to take place. We thank you for the salvations that will take place. We thank you for the freedom that we have to worship you. We thank you for the revelation that you're about to show us. In the lovely name of Jesus, amen and amen.